So we're going to have our reading now. We've been looking at the book of 1 Samuel, and our reading for today is from 1 Samuel 7, and that's on page 277 of the Bibles that you've got in your chairs. And we're looking at two small chunks today. So on page 277, chapter 7, starting at the second half of verse 2, so that new paragraph. And we'll read a little bit there, and then we'll start again at verse 10. Okay. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and Ashtoreths, and commit yourself to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And at verse 10, while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to the point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites.
Thank you, Alice, very much indeed, and great to see you all this morning. Let's look at this verse in 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, just for a few minutes together. Let me read it to you again. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Let's pray for God's help as we look at this verse together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the lessons that we've been learning from 1 Samuel over these last few weeks. We thank you for big lessons about you, your character, your holiness, the way in which you reverse people's fortunes, the way that we can pray to you, the way in which we're not to treat you just as a lucky charm, but we're to fear and honor you. And we thank you, Lord, for all the ways in which you've helped the Israelites. And we thank you for all the ways in which you've helped us. And we pray that you'd speak to us now as we study your word together on this annual church meeting day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer. It's a funny name, isn't it? Might remind some of us of a slightly dodgy song, dance track in the 1990s. It might remind others of us of Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. There's the Muppets and their version of the Christmas Carol. It was actually a very popular children's name over 200 years ago, but the name comes from this passage. Eben, meaning a stone, and Ezer, meaning God's help. A stone of help. There's the graphics working for us today. Very impressive, isn't it? If anyone else wants to help write some PowerPoints, you're very welcome. 2 weeks ago, the adults looked at this passage in a lot more detail, and we're just going to look at one particular verse today. And if you missed that sermon 2 weeks ago, there is a podcast of all our previous sermons, so do feel free to go back to that. In verse 2, we saw that the people were lamenting after the way that they were unfaithful to God, and they were returning to him to get rid of their idols, turning from false gods back to God, the true God. At that very moment, the arch enemies, the Philistines, came in and they decided to attack God's people in verse 7. And so they called out to Samuel, their leader, their judge, to pray for them. Just have a look at verse 8. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. And that was such a turnaround from a parallel passage that we saw in chapter 4 a few weeks ago, where the people just treated God like a lucky charm. And they thought that if they brought the ark into battle, then magically they would win all their battles. But no, now they knew they had to depend on God. They really had to turn to God and trust in him. And wonderfully in verse 10, without them having to do anything, God wins the battle for them. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. They didn't have to do anything. They just did the mopping up job afterwards, which is in verse 11. The men of Israel rushed out and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Their enemies were defeated. And so Samuel takes this stone, and we've got our own little Ebenezer stone at the back, and the guys are doing a brilliant job putting our stickers on top of them. We're looking forward to seeing the final article. They put this stone, Samuel puts this stone, and he says, thus far, the Lord has helped us right up to this point, right up to this geographical point here, right up to this point in time. And he looks back to see how good God has been. You could say that he looks in three ways. First of all, he looks back recently. And I think that's why this stone is put here, right at this point, just where the battle has finished and just where they've come up to in that point in the ground. It was an incredible rescue, which was all God's work. And they didn't even need to get out their bows and their arrows. And here we are, 6 months on from our first service, which was exactly 6 months and a day, the 16th of September. Here we are at St. Peter's School, looking back on how God has been so good to us and how he's been our helper. Despite our weaknesses, God has been very kind to us, and we're so grateful to God. It's so helpful, isn't it, for us individually to write down the blessings. There's a great old song which says, count your blessings, number them one by one. And that wouldn't be a bad exercise for each family to do here at some point, just to look back on the recent weeks and thank God, a little bit like we're doing with our stone today, thanking God for the good ways in which he's blessed us. It may even be that someone here today is having a really hard time, and actually they're finding it hard to see the blessings in God's life. And life can be very, very like that sometimes. But even in those tough times, as we've seen in the book of 1 Samuel, God's using the tough times to bring them to the point where he wants them to be. He's helping us to this point. Even the tough times can be part of his good plan. So they put this stone in the ground, big boulder, probably a lot bigger than my piece of obsidian, volcanic glass, and they look back to what God has done for them recently. But they also look back further, because verse 12, he named the stone Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has blessed us. Thus far he's helped us. It's not just what he's done very recently, but they're looking back over months, years, through this book, in terms of what we see in this book, and further back as well. We've seen in this book the way in which God has been helping his people by giving them a good leader in the place of Eli and his sons, how actually he's preparing them for a king. As we look further back to Hannah, we see how God blessed her personally. As we go back into the books before the time of Ruth and Naomi, in such a sad and difficult place, and yet God blesses and helps them. Further back into the time of the judges, where there's bad leadership and they're lurching from one crisis to another, and yet God still helps them. And then even further back to the second biggest rescue in the Bible, as God brought the people out of the Red Sea, out of Egypt, and into his land, into the promised land. Second greatest rescue, because of course the greatest rescue in the Bible is Jesus' rescue for us. God has been so faithful and so good to his people. Let me give you three verses from the Bible that speak of his help. There's Ezer. Again, there's the word for help. And the first one there is from Exodus chapter 18, where Moses named one of his sons, Eliezer. Eliezer, Eliezer, my God is my help. For he said, my father's God was my helper. He saved me from the hand of Pharaoh. In the Psalms, we see God being called the helper as well. But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You are the helper of the fatherless. Isn't that a great verse? Perhaps particularly if anyone here has got a difficult relationship with their father, or maybe they don't know their father. God is the helper of the fatherless. And then into the New Testament as well, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I love rocks, and there's the Ebenezer rock that we've chosen for today, a piece of volcanic glass, a piece of volcano that's erupted so quick that the lava flows like glass and solidifies really quickly. You can have a look at the rock. Probably see it on the screen, because afterwards it'll be covered in lots of little pieces of paper. But this piece of rock for us today, which Mercy's working on, represents all that the Lord has done for us, not just recently in our past 6 months, but right back. And looking, of course, as Christians, back to the biggest rescue of the Bible. And it's worth pausing on God's kindness to us at the cross, as we think, coming up towards Easter, of what he did for us there. And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That's what it cost Jesus to do, to pay for your and my sin. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Isn't that an amazing way in which God has been our helper? He's helped us in the way that we most need, by dealing with our sin and taking it on his own back and paying for it completely. And if you're not a Christian here this morning, I'd encourage you to come to Jesus at the cross and receive the forgiveness that he has won for you there. What a helper God has been to the people of God recently and looking further back. And what a helper he's been to us. But I think there's one last direction in which the Israelites may have been looking on this day. And I might just be speculating here. But verse 12, thus far, the Lord has helped us up to this point. But what of the future? Is an opportunity to lay this stone in the ground and say, he's helped us to this point. We can trust him into the future, looking forward as well. They're kind of at a crossroads, and there's kind of bad news and good news to come. We saw some of the bad news last week as we looked at chapter 8, where we saw the people put their foot wrong by asking for a king. It wasn't totally wrong to have a king, but to want a king instead of God was a kind of replacement, which we all do. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. How are we going to live from now on? We see that the people make some mistakes. Bad news. But on the other hand, good news as well, because God has been our helper up to this point, and we can trust him to be our helper into the future. And sure enough, as the pages of the scriptures turn, and we're not going to get any further than 1 Samuel in this current series, I hope we'll come back to it. It's been a wonderful book to look at. But as we turn the pages of scripture, we see that in God's kindness, he is their helper going forward. He will be their helper right through. In fact, he takes some of their wrongs and he rights them. He redeems, he rescues the things that they get wrong, like wanting a king. And he blesses that request. And one day he gives them a king after God's own heart in David and into history in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've loved learning from 1 Samuel, and I hope you have as well. I think what we've seen is that it doesn't really matter what resources you have, whether you've got loads of money, loads of children, in 1 Samuel terms, bows and arrows, whether you've got the strongest muscles, whether you've got all the power in the world. What matters is that you have God and you trust him. He is the one that you need. He is the helper. He's been the helper up to this point, and he's going to be the helper going forward. Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you follow his King, Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Samuel named the stone Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you have been our helper in recent weeks and months. As we look back to your coming in the form of Jesus Christ, your Son, we praise and thank you for his life and death and resurrection for us. We thank you that he died to forgive all our sins, to bring us back into friendship with you. Thank you that you truly have been our helper. And as we look to the future as well, we trust that you will lead us, that if you should delay the Lord Jesus' return, we pray that we would know many months and years of fruitful gospel outreach as we seek to take the good news of Jesus to Huntingdon. So we thank you and we praise you. And we ask that you would help each one of us, and as a church, you'd help us to follow Jesus Christ, that we would truly be Christ Church Huntingdon. And we pray in his name. Amen.